My work pays for my apartment where I get to sleep to gain my strength to go back to work to pay.
In the grand tradition of the English rock opera a la Tommy, The Wall, and The Wham Wise Down on Broadway, there is a new rock opera for the 21st century. It is entitled A Wall Street Odyssey. Yessarian, from Joseph Heller's seminal book Catch-22, is reborn as a burned-out stockbroker on a path of self-destruction, rebirth, and transcendence. The show includes live music, costumes, narration, and videos on a giant screen. Songwriter Sean Bigler and wife Bonnie Likes live in Woodstock in upstate New York. They formed Epigene in 2000, and they're creators of this Wall Street Odyssey, and it's a great pleasure to welcome them to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, we're happy to be here.
First of all, let me begin by saying it's Saturday night is the event. I think at one point I may have said Sunday.
Oh.
When I did the billboard.
Yeah.
And that's not right. It's Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yes, which I think I had said earlier, but I just want to make sure that I correct that. So Saturday night, how did this all come about?
Well, it came about several years ago. I think it was before the financial derivatives thing in 08. And I just I had the idea on a hiking trip of really wanting to write a rock opera like the ones I'd grown up listening to. And we love Catch-22 and the character Yessarian, and so we decided, once the story came about, we decided to reinvent him as a Wall Street broker.
When you think about a rock opera, what are the ingredients for you? What did you want to be included in that?
Hero's journey.
Okay.
A hero's journey like Odysseus, like Homer, like Tommy, like Jimmy from Quadrophenia, The Wall. Every, you know, a rock opera, to follow it, has got to have a transformative hero's journey.
Which is why I assume that Yessarian works so well for this.
Yes.
Yes. In the book Catch-22, people may know that he was trying to get out of flying missions. But he couldn't declare himself crazy because of Catch-22. So we thought, let's reinvent this hero, this anti-hero on Wall Street, and put him in a series of Catch-22s on Wall Street: modern living, affluence, corruption, feeling trapped. And so the only way to escape a Catch-22 is to not play the game. And in his case, he falls out of society through drug addiction. So he becomes riches to rags, essentially. His unconscious way to escape his Wall Street life and corruption and overwork and burned outness is to drop out of society, and that starts the journey.
He goes from the highest high to the lowest low on the streets.
When it comes to the actual cast, how many are on stage?
Just the two of us.
Yeah. Just the two of us. Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what I thought. So it's a lot of work for just the two of you.
Well, the movies. Our show has, every song is a music video. And there's music embedded in the video with lyrics that go along on the bottom of the screen in time to how we sing them. So our 20 videos, 20 songs, they take care of the visuals. And we have hundreds of still photos, video footage that we've taken.
And we do some light costume changes to enhance the plot line as well.
I play Yessarian as a broker, as a homeless person, as a hippie farmer. Bonnie plays various roles throughout the rock opera as his ex-girlfriend in Wall Street, as kind of the matriarch in the eco-village farming situation, to
sort
various
of the
roles.
The voice of Mother Earth.
Sure. But visually, the rock opera works in that there's images and footage that show this character as he changes from Wall Street broker, homeless, drug addict, farmer, and then at the end he's kind of a back-to-the-country prophet.
When did you do all the filming?
It took us about a year, from 2011 to 2012, to about the spring of 2012. That's where we finished the last one. And we use, it's basically just hundreds of hundreds of photos, film snippets, live film footage. We use a program called Crazy Talk, which is a photo animation. The album we released, the 2-CD album called The Wall Street Odyssey, has a 56-page graphic novel with cartoons.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
So we took those out and photoshopped them and then brought them into Crazy Talk software and animated them, and we make them sing. So we have all these animations and real photos of real, you know, actors or people singing on the screen in time to us singing them on either side of the screen. So it's basically YouTube, it's like films for the YouTube generations.
So it just seems to me, in what you just described, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like a lot can go wrong.
With the character?
No. Oh. Meaning technically. Have you set it up so that isn't the case, or is
no.
it all?
Well, what it is we worked with Final Cut Express.
Which, by the way, sounds exciting. I mean, because you sort of do it without a net, and you go out, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
But whenever you enter, I assume, being a married couple, you trust her, she trusts you, and that's good.
Yeah.
But you can't trust technology.
We played a show in Syracuse last week, and it froze at the end of a song. So I rebooted the computer. But the films are embedded with music, and they're in iTunes, and we send the HDMI signal out. What can go wrong?
Right,
just
but you hit on an important point that one of the themes of the show is to return to nature. So.
And not be so reliant on this stuff.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we've got it in a form where the music, the background music, is pre-recorded. And so I just advance, when Bonnie narrates between the songs, I get ready and then I just advance to the next video. And then the story continues. So, you know, we use Macs, and if you reboot them and you have plenty of memory, you know, it's only been one thing so far.
Well, and you got it out of the way, and that's fine. Yeah. And you learn from that, and it'll never happen again. So you're like running the board, as it were, too. It's not like there's a staff there.
Well, it all depends. On some shows, we bring our whole PA system, and we set up, you know, 5-6 hours beforehand. But most of the music, it's a blend between Bonnie vocals and keyboards and myself guitar and vocals, and we just blend ourselves with the pre-recorded music that's embedded in the films. So, like at the Linda, we don't even have to bring our projector or our PA, because that's being taken care of. The Linda has a giant screen.
Yes.
So we're going to feed our digital signal to their projector. It's going to be very easy and fun, more relaxing for us.
But sometimes we do rely on the kindness of strangers.
Well, you know.
Like yourself, Joe.
As artists are supposed to do. It's inherent in what you do. I find it, Ray and I were talking about this earlier when we were advance promoting the segment of saying of how cool it would be to see something like this, a rock opera, in such an intimate setting. I mean, I would think it would add to you to have this very nice environment, cozy, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, and the show is very tidy. Imagine two performers on either end or either side of a screen, and each song is a video. So the audience looks at Bonnie and I performing and singing, and then the videos with the lyrics in time to the music. It's very tight, and the films are very engrossing, especially at that size.
And a narrative in between
each film.
Keeping the story running along.
Yeah. And so you've been working on this for a long time. And
the album came out in 2011.
That's what I was going to ask you about. The music comes first.
Yeah, the album was a 25-song 2-hour affair that came out in North America in the spring of 2011, and then the UK, Europe in August of 2011. And by that time, we were like, "How do we perform this live? It's got to be with video of some sort. Let's instead of having a cast and complicating things, let's just create videos that we can dance around to in front of."
Yeah.
And we can keep it really DIY. Bonnie and I can work together, keep it real tidy, and we think people are mesmerized by the show. I mean, people are pretty stunned by the videos and by our performances, and it's something that's mobile.
I like to use the word gobsmacked.
Yes. Well, I would use that word whenever I could, quite frankly. It is, when you think about it, and I guess for you, I mean, the real work, when we think of a rock opera, the real work then comes in the creation of those songs. Did that come relatively easy? Did once you had your idea, I mean, there's nothing easy about the writing process, I know that. But as far as, did it all spring from you fairly easily?
The story came very easily. But so I had a plot, and then I would just insert a song should go here, then one should go here. And before I knew it, I had, 20, 25 songs. So I knew it was going to be a huge rock opera, too long probably for most tastes, although if you can get through it maybe in a couple listens. But I had to write songs that were for the sophisticated modern city, and then I wanted to write songs that were more from the hippie generation. And more back to the land, rural folk, country rock, Afropop, things that were more organic. The songs took a while because you're writing to a script. And, I know that there are a lot of songwriters in the Bollywood industry that people habitually write to movie scripts. And instead of being improvisational with coming up with a story based on from the ether, you've got to write to a script. And so that took a while to get used to. I've got to write a song here that moves the plot from A to B. And so I took my time with it, and I didn't try to force anything. But one thing I want to say is that each song of a rock opera is not a fragment. I don't know if people are familiar with The Wall. There's a lot of little fragments of like 30 seconds, a minute here, little interludes, not our rock opera. Every song, is written as a pop song or a progressive rock song.
Meaning you can go in and pick one out and still enjoy it for what it is.
Absolutely.
And then put it back in and allow it to advance the story.
If it shows up on your random, on your iPod of 6,000 songs or so, you'll like it because it's not like, 38 seconds little interlude of a rock opera.
Yeah.
It's a hook. It's got a verse and a chorus and a bridge.
Why am I suddenly listening about doing the laundry?
I know.
It sounds very, very exciting. So how many times do you perform this?
Well, we started out, we finished the films in last spring, and we booked ourselves in clubs, and that was the wrong environment because it's more of a thoughtful audience that needs it. So a friend, after playing clubs, and we played an outdoor festival under a full moon, and that was beautiful because we had a lot of people sitting on the grass in the evening and just loving it, and we thought we need a more thoughtful audience. So a friend of ours suggested, you guys should go to the theater. You guys should do playbills. You guys should be in a theater environment because you're multimedia and the story is intellectual and interesting and thought provoking. And so this will be our fifth theater, arts center type gig so far.
Well, it's all very exciting. It's a Wall Street Odyssey. It'll be performed Saturday night at the Linda in Albany at 8 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to thelinda.org, thelinda.org. It's Saturday night, February 23rd at 8 o'clock. And you can find out more information, thelinda.org. Sean, Bonnie, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you here, and have a wonderful performance on Saturday night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're grateful.
Thank you. Coming up next, we will hear from Lucius. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.